Now, first of all, I think I must introduce you to what exactly, or not exactly, what approximately the county town was in 1381. The county town in the early Middle Ages is, it's literally the place in a particular county or shire where the king's business is carried out. Any business that the king has, financial or judicial or anything else, in the shire is done in what is in fact the county town. Now, Chelmsford in 1381 was a parish, an ecclesiastical parish. But within that parish, you have to break it up for practical purposes, because the parish was made up of two manors. There was the manor of Chelmsford, and there was the manor of Molesham. And as far as the manor of Chelmsford was concerned, people in Molesham were foreigners, or foreigners, as the Essex people would call them. They were foreigners. And the two manors were separated by the bridge, by the river, which goes through the town today, and which at that date was known as the Great River, which is, again, the name the Great River, I mean, it emphasizes something which really is a divider between two places. The town, the county town, was in the manor of Chelmsford. But it was not the whole manor, because the manor of Chelmsford was again divided into two completely separate communities. You had the town, which was a medieval new town artificially created about 180 years before, round about 1199 to 1201. And the town topographically was virtually what we know today as the High Street. It was just that short quarter of a mile between the church and the bridge. That was the town. It was just beginning to spread a little bit up Duke Street, partly owing to the sort of entrepreneurial activities of the Duke or Duke's family, who were sort of developing up in that direction. It was just beginning to spread a little bit up New Street, which was known as New Street then, and it was also spreading a little bit along Springfield Lane between the High Street and the river. Now, that is a very, very small area for a town. Now, what about the rest of Chelmsford? I'm going to distinguish all through very carefully between Chelmsford and Molesham. When I say Chelmsford, I mean just Chelmsford. The rest of Chelmsford was known as the Upland. And the Upland went virtually from the church right up to the Broomfield boundary and the Rittle boundary. It was the whole of the rest of the manor, which was a very, very large area indeed. And the Upland was villein or peasant Chelmsford. The Upland was where actually in the case of Chelmsford, they're not known as villeins, they're known as natives. They were the natives, and in fact, they were the successors of the Domesday population, which consisted simply of four unfree native families. So that you have this distinction in Chelmsford between the native, villein, rural, upland, and this very, very small freehold town full of freemen down in the extreme corner. And the county town was literally that very small bit. It wasn't even built up on both sides. The building was sporadic. The houses, whether they were hall houses or whether they were just cottages and shops, whether they were one story, there were just a few of them that were beginning to have an upper story put on, were surrounded by gardens and yards, and the plots were divided by cartways and alleys which led from the street down to the river at the back, and of course they all drained to the rivers in the, what were called the backsides behind the buildings on the front of the street. It was a purely manorial society. It was run in the sort of long intervals between the times when the Bishop of London's steward came down from London to hold courts. In between, authority in the town was represented by the bishop's bailiff, who was a local man. He was one of the local people. He wasn't an outsider. And by the what were called the chief pledges, who were the heads of the tithings. They were the elite. And there were a small number of them that formed a sort of oligarchy which ran the town. And it was a purely manorial administration. It was rather dirty. The cattle were slaughtered in the shambles in the High Street. On market day, the cattle and everything else were in the High Street. The fishmongers had their stalls in the High Street, and they gutted their fish in the street and chucked it down underneath their stalls. They threw their rubbish into the street, and they threw their rubbish into the river. It certainly wasn't very clean, but because the building was not close together, you had plenty of open space, you weren't getting the sort of problems that you got later as the frontage closed up when people's gutters on the roof started dripping onto their neighbors' roofs and that sort of thing. Everybody's eaves could drop what they called their drippings, the drippings from the eaves. Everybody's drippings could drip onto their own ground at this stage, if you think about it that way. And from the point of view of population, the nearest sort of idea I can give you, because it's very, very dangerous to give sort of overbold estimates about population in the Middle Ages, but in 1377, the adult population, and I'm counting this as people over 14 years old, men and women, the adult population of Chelmsford, both town and upland, was 240. The adult population of the hamlet, Molsham, was 180. Now you can compare that with Rittle next door. Rittle, 600. Colchester, nearly 3,000. It's a very, very small town. And somewhere, Maitland made a marvellous remark. I don't know if I can remember it exactly, but what he says is that very often we tend to hurry. This is the exact word he uses, hurry, the history of our towns and villages because we fill them too full. And he goes on to add that there are many thoughts which do not come to men, now we haven't got that quite right. The implication is that there are many thoughts that don't come to men who aren't crowded together. Do you get the idea? And this is one of the things we have to realize. It is the county town. It is where all the meetings for the king's business are carried out. But it is a very, very little place where everybody knows everybody else and everybody else's business. And one of the features of sort of running the place is that everybody must behave in a neighborly fashion, and the great sort of offense is anything which is a nuisance to neighbors. It's small and it's neighborly.